But I would like to ask you to join me once again in the book of Psalms and Psalms 9. So if you would turn to the 9th Psalm, I really want to center, and we'll read some verses through it, but the center verse, really, the centerpiece is what I'd like to center on today. But Psalms 9, if you would just hold your spot there a moment. Psalms 9. The last time I took a group, we had a group from here to go tour the Holy Land, I told our guide, and when you go to Israel, when you go to the Holy Land, typically I've always had Israeli guides when we are there. None of them were Christians that I'm aware of. Some of them would just say, I'm Israeli. That's their nationality. A couple of them may have been practicing like Orthodox Jews. And then when you go over to somewhere like Bethlehem, well, I went over to Jordan for a few days the first time I went, you might have an Arab Christian guide. But on this last tour years ago, when you go into what is called the Garden Tomb, there are a couple places where it is at least somewhat advertised where Jesus was raised from the dead. One is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and like a Catholic perspective might see that more as that's the legitimate place. And then there's a place more, it's just a nice serene setting. It's outside, and it's like a garden there. At the time of Jesus, it would have been a working garden, but it's just like a peaceful setting. So I told the guide, I want to see if he could set it up. I want our group to take communion together after we look into the tomb and then come out and just sit out in that area. And so anyway, he made his calls and so forth and told me, he said that he had set it up, that we're going to have, we'll be able to have communion in the Garden Tomb. And this is what he said. It's who you know that counts. And because I knew a little bit of him, just over the few days getting to know him, I just smiled and said, that's true spiritually too. It's who you know that counts. So the centerpiece of Psalms 9, would you look at verse 10? Psalms 9 and verse 10 says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And those who know your name. That's just a poetic way of saying you. When it talks about the Lord's name being a strong tower, or his name is Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Shalom, and that's just, it all sums up by who he is. So it could literally say, and really the literal meaning is, those who know you will put their trust in you. So it's all kind of wrapped up in his name. So I'm just going to use that phrase this morning as the title of the message. It's who you know that counts. It's who you know that counts. And we'll look at a few verses here to give it a little context. Before I do, let me just once again say, maybe it's the first time you've been here, or maybe you haven't joined us for a little bit. I started a series of messages going through the book of Psalms. Again, not going to do 150 Psalms, but we did several of them between Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, but I did want to continue that because the Psalms are just such a rich, oh my goodness, the literature is, the Psalms are literally songs and prayers. They're songs, they're prayers. I mean, covering the full range of human experiences and emotions. And God gave us these inspired words so that we can relate to their experiences and their emotions, and so that we can be drawn to trust the same God that they trusted. So it's who you know that counts. Would you please turn to someone and tell them that? It's who you know that counts. Quick definition of the word trust here. I'm sure many of you know it. It really just means to rely on or put confidence in. To rely on or put confidence in. I'm not going to do it. But if I said, I'm counting on this table to hold me up if I sit on it. Just to not take the chance. I'm sure it will. But you get the idea, right? I trust when I hit that brake pedal that the system is going to work and I'm not going to run through that stop sign. I put confidence in that little switch on the wall that when I flip it one way, lights will come on or lights will go off. So to trust is to put confidence in and to rely on. And I really believe this is accurate. Trust is based on knowledge. If I don't know you, I might not be as willing to trust you. But if I know your heart and your ability, if I said, I need you to hold this ladder for me while I get up on the roof, you might have the right heart. But if I question your ability, I might not get on that ladder. So, yeah, thank you. That's wisdom. God's word reveals his heart and his ability to us so that we can put our trust in him. So that we can trust him. So, it's who you know that counts. Let me read you this verse if you want to just write it down. It's Jesus in a prayer that he prayed for us, all of us, his followers then, now, and in the future. It's found in John 17. One verse, Jesus said this. He's praying to his Father, and he says, this is eternal life. Would you please say this? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We receive eternal life when we trust in Jesus as the only eternal, sinless, crucified, and resurrected Lord. He's in a class by himself. He is Emmanuel, God with us. No one else can compare to him. No one else did what he did. But when we come with just simple childlike faith saying, I recognize I have sinned against the holy God, but I believe he loved me and punished Jesus on the cross for my sin, I can be forgiven and receive eternal life. Then we begin that walk in newness of life so that we can get to know him better. We can know God as our Father. We can know Jesus as Lord. And I really believe this is the ultimate goal of it, because God's purpose was always that we would be in his image. He created us in his image, and we fell from that by sin, but by his redemption, he restores us. And so now we can get to know him better in our daily walk. We can draw closer to him, and we can grow more like him. So it's not just what I know, like intellectually. No, it's who I know, because it's who you know that counts. And so we get to know him. And I want to share just three practical steps, I believe, here from the Psalms of how we can get to know him better. Because the man who wrote about half of the New Testament was a Christian hater at one time. He tried to compel people like us, believers, to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And he thought he was doing God's will. But when Jesus so radically saved him, God used him powerfully. He wrote about half the New Testament. He started churches. God used him to work unusual miracles. He would have like rags from on his body that could be put on people with demons and the spirits would leave. But this is what he said in Philippians, that I may know him. Because we'll never fathom the fullness of knowing God. We will never exhaust him. And so if you were to ask him at the time, I can imagine if he would have said, oh, I know the Lord. I've walked with him for this many years, but I hadn't arrived yet. I'm still pressing on for this one. I got to know him even better. So do you see how it's not just, I know something. That's good to learn, but Christianity is not just what we learn. It's who we know. Jesus said this, and then I'm back to Psalms 9. In Matthew chapter 7, let me read it to you. This is Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So we can have the right words, but not the right heart. So he says, again, this is just sobering to me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? It's possible to be religious, but not righteous. It's possible to be in a church, but not in Christ. And that's where, it's an eternity of difference in knowing the Lord and only knowing about him. Verse 23, and then I will declare to them had nothing to do with how many times they went to church, how much money they gave, all the good works. And they said they did that. Jesus isn't going to challenge it, at least here. That's not the issue when it comes to salvation. He says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. How sad is that? I mean, now you had works, but you didn't have me. So do you see? It's who you know that counts. It's who you know that counts in life, and it's who you know that counts spiritually in eternity. So three ways I believe that we can get to know the Lord better. And here's the first one. Would you look at verse 10 once again in Psalms 9? Psalms 9, 10 says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So how do we get to know him better? First step is we've got to seek him. So how do we get to know the Lord better? How do we get closer to him? How do we grow more like him? We must seek him, to seek the Lord, seek him. And I'll go ahead and just say this now. It's good to seek what he can do for us. It's good to seek his help. It's good to seek his healing. It's good to seek his wisdom, his strength, his comfort, his discernment. It's good to seek his will. But how about if we always keep it in the right perspective? Let's not just seek the Lord for what we can get out of him when we need something. Let's seek him for who he is. If we get him, then we get all the benefits that come with it. If I get the giver, then I can get some gifts. If I get the healer, I can have some healing. If I get the provider, I can have provision. So it's who you know that counts, not just what. Now, someone may think, well, I'm in a great need right now. Okay, good, come on. That's good, come to him, but don't just use him on that occasion. Seek him as a lifestyle. Here's the contrast, because Psalms 10 is a companion psalm to verse 9. Actually, Psalms 9 is written in an acrostic form, like the Hebrew alphabet, maybe the first letter and so forth on down. In Psalms 10, it continues it. So it's a companion to Psalms 9. This is where the scripture says, in contrast to verse 10 of chapter 9, Psalms 10 verse 4 says this, I read it last week. The wicked in his proud countenance does not what? Does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. See, pride will keep us from seeking the Lord, and pride can lead us to think we won't give account to him one day for how we lived. So to seek the Lord. And just, if you stay right there just a moment, let me read you a few more verses from Jeremiah, and then I'll give you the second one. But Jeremiah chapter 29, how many of you are familiar with the scripture where it says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and hope. All right, I want to give you a little bit of context to that verse. It was spoken by God to his people in exile because they had repeatedly, this is what he charged them with, you've forsaken me, you've forsaken me, you've forsaken me. And he sent prophet after prophet after prophet like Jeremiah and others, and they didn't want to hear that. And they said, no. And they had false prophets saying, peace, peace, we've got the temple here, deceiving people. And when destruction and devastation finally came, the temple was burned to the ground, people were murdered, carried off, some into Babylonian captivity. And God said, you're going to stay there 70 years. This is what he says, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. And thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. You may have forsaken me, but I'm not forsaken you. Verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'm going to listen to you. Verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. See the contrast there between those who would seek God wholeheartedly and those who I don't have time for God, I don't need him, and that kind of a pride. So let's seek the Lord wholeheartedly, and then let's seek him for the blessings and seek him for the benefits. There's a place for that. And how do we seek the Lord? One way we seek him is through his word. We seek his will. We seek him. We get to know him better. We seek him in prayer. We seek him in worship. Just like this morning, we seek him in godly fellowship. We can seek the Lord in service. It's all part. In fact, it's on the front of your bulletin, actually, listed under our priorities. God's word, prayer, worship, and so forth. Those are ways that we seek the Lord. So if we really want to get to know him better, let's seek him. I learned this from this scripture in Psalms 9:10. In fact, I want to ask you, maybe this week you might focus on it. Try to learn it. Maybe you can learn a little section at a time, but mainly get the truth out so that we live it. This is what I've learned. If we seek the Lord, the more we seek him, the better we will get to know him. And the better we know him, the more we'll trust him. That's why I said trust is based on knowledge. If I don't know anything about God, I might not commit my life to him. But I can tell you after walking with him a few years, I haven't anywhere near arrived, but I can tell you he is trustworthy and he is faithful. And the more we get to know him, we can trust him more. He's not out to hurt us. He's not gonna do us wrong. So how do we get to know him? First, seek him. Would you say that with me? Seek him. And then second, trust him. So seek him and trust him. Again, to trust, rely on him, put your confidence in him. I'll read two verses out of this psalm. Let me start in verse 9 here. Psalms 9 and verse 9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." The word refuge is a fortress. It's a stronghold. You heard about people, we've all probably said it maybe, about someone having a stronghold, or I got a stronghold in my mind, my heart. God is the ultimate stronghold. The Lord is that fortress. He's our safe place. Then he flows out of that, verse 10, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." God is faithful, and we can trust him even when it seems like evil is winning. I'm gonna go into that in just a minute. I'll show you some verses. But once again, would you look at Psalms 10? Because he said in Psalms 9, the Lord is a refuge in time of trouble. But then in Psalms 10, verse 1, he asks this question, "Why do you stand afar off, Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" Have you ever been there? Where in your heart you really know you are, "Lord, you are a refuge in my times of trouble, but right now I'm not feeling it." That's why we don't lean on our own understanding and emotions and feelings. It's gotta be about who you know. It's who you know that counts. Do you know him? If you know him, we can trust him. Even when it looks like in our personal world we're being persecuted, and all the mess that's going on in the world, in the nations today, even having contact with some of our missionaries and all that's going on, I'll tell you, this psalm really stood out to me this week about peace even in the nations. But he says, verse 2, so he says, "Why do you hide in times of trouble?" And then he says, "The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised." It's the wicked, they're persecuting people. Why aren't you doing something about it? If you go to Psalm 7 now, let me read you two verses. Psalm 7, it's who you know that counts. Beginning in verse 1, Psalm 7, 1 and 2, the Bible says this, because see, David knew the Lord, because he knew him well enough, he put his trust in him even when he was being persecuted and when it seemed like evil was winning the day. This is what he says in Psalms 7:1. "O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver." So you see, he was being attacked personally, being persecuted, but he said, "I've walked with you long enough to know you're a refuge in time of trouble. And even when it looks like evil is winning and the wicked are getting away with their sin, I'm gonna trust you and I'm gonna call out to you to help me. Don't let them keep doing. I'm calling on you. I'm inviting you in." And when you know the Lord, we can do the same thing. Again, the better we know him, the more we trust him. So to know the Lord and to trust him. And David wrote this psalm, Psalms 9. I gave you the centerpiece there about seeking him and trusting him, but let's back out a little bit to see a couple verses before and after. This is what it says in verse 4, Psalms 9 in verse 4. And the Bible says this, "For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness." God judges in righteousness, but it's not just on a personal level. He goes on in verse 8 and says this, "He, the Lord, shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment or justice for the peoples in uprightness." See, when the Lord comes back and he judges the world in righteousness, some are gonna be punished, but some are gonna be vindicated. And if you are being wronged in society, you wanna go to court and have a judge that's gonna decide in your favor. You're not scared of the judge. You want to get in front of the judge. And see, if we know him and if we are right with him, we can see all the evil, and like the opening psalm there in 98, we want him to come because all the world and all creation is gonna rejoice when you run this world as it actually should be run. Man has had his day long enough. And now I'm gonna step in. Then he says this in verse 16. So again, we've got past the centerpiece, now verse 16. It says, "The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands." Meditation. Think about this a moment. Pause. "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." So the word for hell there is also translated grave or pit. So it might just mean, you know, there's a death that everyone faces, but there is also a death that those who are not right with God face that we don't have to because of Jesus. It's who you know that counts. Do you know him? Thank God. The Lord is long-suffering. He is merciful, but mercy is not approval. Just because we see evil and sin look like it's winning, that just means God is merciful and he's being patient toward us. It does not mean everyone's gonna get away with everything forever. It's who you know that counts. God will correct every wrong. He will banish all evil. Let me give you one last scripture for this one, and I'll give you the third step. It's Acts chapter 17, two verses. Acts 17, 30 and 31. And the scripture says this, "Truly these times of ignorance," before we had the full revelation of Jesus' scripture, he says, "God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." It's who you know that counts. And again, when you read that verse, if you read it, if you want to focus on it, if it's helpful at all, when I try to meditate on a scripture or learn it maybe for a week at a time or however long it may be, if it's broken down into, let's say there are six words and there's a comma, and then there are six words and there's a comma, I'd break it down and do it like that. And like on this one, I don't know if it's helpful because I used to have Dodge cars and I used to like Richard Petty at one time. Do y'all remember what he had on his car? A big old 43. And do you remember the sponsor he had? Anyone? STP. Seek, trust, praise. Hey, whatever works. So how do we get to know the Lord better? We seek him wholeheartedly. And then as we seek him, we get to know him. In fact, when you read scripture, man, look for virtues and characteristics and qualities about him that you can put your trust in him. So we seek him, then we trust him. And if we trust him, we might as well go ahead and praise him. Because the same virtues and power and heart and characteristics that cause us to trust him are the same that should lead us to praise him. So this is what he says in, again, I'll back out and look at the bookends here of Psalms 9 and verse 1. So we've talked about getting to know him. He says, "I will praise you, O Lord," here he is again, "with my whole heart." No half-hearted stuff. God didn't do anything half-hearted for us and still doesn't. "So I'm gonna praise you, Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you." Would you please turn to somebody next to you? It looks like they just need a little cheering up. And just tell them, let's rejoice and be glad in the Lord. "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name O Most High. See, as we get to know the Lord, we trust him, but we also praise him for those same characteristics. If he's a fortress, if he's a refuge, if he's a very present help in time of need, not only can I trust him, I can praise him in my time of need. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't even have to feel right. I just have to believe right and know right. I got to know him, that he is faithful. So then if you drop down to verse 11, the Bible says this: sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Do you see how we started there in verse 10 and then now we're kind of branching out? Is the trusting. It's even when we see what's going on in the nations and world, I know it can be troubling. I get that. I really do. I relate. But let's not let it take us down to such a degree. Let's remember that this isn't all there is, and this is not how the world will always be. We have someone who died to redeem the world and bring it back into proper order to his Father, and he is coming, and he is going to run this world correctly. And even after that, we've got a new body coming. We've got a new heaven and a new earth, and there's no more curse, no more dying, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more separation, no more tears. He'll wipe every tear away from every eye. It's who you know that counts. Verse 13. So David is saying, I praise you, I'm doing all of that based on past, walk with you, but now he has a present need, and he says in verse 13, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death. So do you see how he was praising the Lord? I'm going to praise you, I'm going to sing, I'm going to rejoice, and I'm trusting you, and I'm seeking you, and my confidence is in you, but I still got a need right now. I'm in trouble. Will you help me? Bail me out once more. But I love this. Two gates. He says in verse 13, lift me from the gates of death, verse 14, that I may tell all of your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. I believe that's a powerful truth right there, because I don't even know how long ago it's been. But when I pray for people, I try to keep that in mind. I'm not necessarily saying that specific verse, but that truth, that someone's in need of a physical healing. Okay, Lord, I'm praying, would you touch this person? I know you can raise her up. I know you can heal her. I know you can heal him. And will you do it so that they're raised up and give you praise and give you glory and fulfill your purpose and be a testimony for you? Will you do it for that? Here's a financial need. Here's a job need. Here's a whatever it is. Lord, I'm inviting you. I'm lifting this prayer request up for you. But will you do it for your own purpose? Will you use them to give you glory? Will you use them at full strength that they could serve you to their full capacity so that they go from the gates of death to praising you in the gates of the daughter of Zion? There's a purpose behind it. Doing it to the glory of God. I just believe when God wants to glorify his name and he wants to fulfill his purpose in us and through us. So I just look at it and I know he doesn't answer every prayer as we want, when we want, I know, but we might as well ask. And if he answers, let's give him praise. Let's use, Lord, if you heal me, I'm gonna testify. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna serve you. I'm going to give you the glory, Lord. Raise me up for your purpose. So seek him. Trust him. And go ahead and praise him. He's worthy of praise, brothers and sisters. Not making light. I hope you know me well enough to know that I'm not doing that. But he's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our trust. So let's seek him with all of our heart, even when life is hard and people are mean. God is still good. And he does good. And thank God he's faithful. So let me close with this. This verse stood out to me years ago. I think it was in 1996. I was in a hotel room. I was a youth pastor. And in 1995, I started taking youth groups to do mission work in New York City. And I was in a hotel room on 51st and 8th Avenue, right there in Midtown Manhattan, just down from Times Square Church. And I think it was an afternoon. I think we did a little ministry in the morning, had a break, and we were going back out that evening at night. And I had my little pocket Bible with me. I just take that. I learned over the years to, because I was caught one time without a Bible just out on the streets. And so I would get a little pocket Bible that would fit in my jeans, you know, in my back pocket, a full Bible. And because I remember one time being out, and you're just walking later at night, and they used to have these little places where you go in and do the little peep shows or whatever. And a guy was tried to hand us some invitations. And I said, the Bible says we're supposed to worship the creator and not the creation. He just grinned. And so we kept on walking, and he said, you don't want to talk about the Bible. I pulled my Bible out, and I said, yes, I do. And walked back. And he didn't pass out one more of those his entire shift. And when he was done, he went off and no one else got one of those because we talked about the Bible. But I remember reading that little Bible in that hotel room in Midtown Manhattan. And for some reason, see, God will give you a now word. That verse, Psalms 9:10, stood out to me in 1996. And every time I read that psalm, I'm drawn back to that truth. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken. You don't abandon. People may abandon. People may leave. But you have not forsaken those who seek you. The more we seek him, the better we know him. The better we know him, the more we trust him. It's who you know that counts. Do you know him today? Do you know your Father in heaven because you know Jesus as your Lord? It's that simple. And then I would just like to ask you this. Maybe this week, is there one way that you would say, I want to know my Heavenly Father and I want to know my Lord better. I'm going to seek him this week in whatever it may be. Whatever it is to you, how would that be? Maybe I'm going to give him a little extra prayer time. Maybe I'm going to focus more on giving him praise and thanksgiving and not just giving him my list of what I want him to do. I don't know that. But whatever it is, will you do it? Will you do it this week to get to know your Lord better? And then even today, will you trust him and will you praise him? Let's stand together. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts right now. I know some may be going through a difficult time, hurting, questioning. I'm with you here. I love you. I'm not against you. I want to support you. I want to encourage you in that. But I believe the greatest encouragement I can give is to get you closer to him. So Lord, draw us to yourself. Help us to not just know about you, but to know you and to walk with you through every day of this life, because we know that every blessing in this life and the life to come ultimately flows out of knowing you. That's what it's about. So Lord, draw us in whatever decision, whatever commitment that each one may need to make today. May we do it. May we do it to the glory of God, and then use us for your purpose and your glory. In Jesus' name.